The annual CWA Ball by Joyce Johnson, Kinglake, Victoria. This in bygone years was a much anticipated event on the social calendar in the small country district. Everyone went and everyone dressed in his or her best. The ladies in new or renovated long evening dress and the gents in suits and ties with dancing pumps glistening black. The youngsters loved the occasions too. There was always a copious amount of cream cakes and sandwiches, homemade sausage rolls and cordial for their voracious appetites. The local hall would be festooned with multicoloured balloons and streamers and giant urns of rhododendrons arranged on stage with the band. The band would consist of four local musicians of varying age and sex who would play all night a mixture of well-known tunes to suit the tempo of the various dancers. The old guy on the drums never missed a beat, while the woman on the piano with her bright yellow bleached hair could knock out any tune and smoke a cigarette at the same time. The saxophonist tipped the sax up between dances to drain a bit of spit out, but the music just set your feet tapping. The dance floor shone with Palais wax. The dancing couples declared it was the best floor for miles around. The youngsters went sliding up and down the floor between dances. There were the grandparents, or the oldies, as they were often referred to, the mums and dads with their teenage sons and daughters, whom they brought along to learn to dance. There were the young marrieds, the social set of the district, then the teenagers themselves, awkward, giggling, and with two left feet. The dad's floor was a swirling carousel of colourful long frocks and dark suits, all moving in unison to the beat of the drum. Everyone danced most of the dances, but when the progressive barn dance was announced, every available couple joined in, so many in fact that the supper room doors opened and the dancers proceeded in a horseshoe pattern in the hall and right through the supper room and back again. Sometimes some of the young bucks climbed and hung mistletoe from the rafters, and when the music stopped, the couple standing under the mistletoe were required to kiss, much to the delight of everyone. A regular face at these functions was old Gilbert McCallum. He must have been pushing 80. No one was quite sure of his age, but it was a foregone conclusion that old Gilly would call the Alberts. A lively reel danced in sets of four couples. Gilly would take over the microphone, standing tall and bow-legged in his old shiny suit and red spotted bow tie. He would stomp his walking stick on the floor to the beat, while, at the same time, call the dance steps, "Swing your partners and swing 'em hard, boys," and so on until the dance ended in a circular waltz. Supper time was around 11 o'clock. Oh, what a spread! Beautiful cream sponges, mouth-watering slices, fresh ample sandwiches, cocktail franks, and homemade sausage rolls. The coffee was brewed in a large wood-fired copper and delivered to the patrons in a huge stainless steel watering can type of dispenser carried by two or three young gentlemen. The patrons held out large white cups into which the coffee was poured, while a couple of the young lads followed, carrying a tray containing sugar and spoons. The ladies on the committee carried the food on large trays. On one occasion, one of the younger lads, carrying a beautiful cream sponge, was heard telling everyone his mum had made the cake and the cream was on the turn, thus ensuring a real treat for his mates and himself. A trip to the ladies' room involved collecting a hurricane lantern at the back of door and proceeding down the steps and 50-odd metres through the long grass while holding the lantern and the long skirt on high to reach a little old rickety building under a pine tree. On one stormy night, a local billy goat took shelter in the ladies and resisted all efforts to remove him. That was until old Gilly's faithful Blue Heeler came to the rescue. From that night on, Old Blue escorted his master to the local hops and took up his position in the ticket box with a comely matron called Violet until the evening's end. Violet perched on a high stool in that little ticket box every year. Her loud and often tactless remarks caused many a laugh or acute embarrassment, depending on who was on the receiving end of old Vi's caustic tongue. And don't let us forget old Digger, a local potato picker cum fencer, an odd job man who had a heart of gold under that crumpled exterior. Digger, was a bachelor who lived in an old bush slab hut with a huge fireplace across one end, which housed the open fire and a little old Lux stove. Now, Digger was known to win many a sponge cake cooking competition, but never collected his prize, and just two or three knew who had cooked the cake and was sworn to secrecy. Digger came to all the dances dressed in very clean work pants, a polo shirt and well-worn tie, shining dance shoes, no socks. However, he never lacked a partner, being the best dancer on the floor. His lovely manners and sober habits, his infectious laughter and quick wit, made him popular with young and old alike. The evening usually ended at 2 a.m. with a circular waltz. Then everyone remained standing and joined hands for Auld Lang Syne. The band packed up, the ladies cleaned up in the supper room, while the men swept the hall and pulled down streamers and balloons, and after a hug and kiss, friends and neighbours departed for home, very weary but still aglow. Joyce Dodson.